Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Ken Preston, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today podcast. Our newest discussion topic is why the Army needs credentialing, licensing, and certification opportunities for soldiers. Over the last couple of years, the Army has been working on providing soldiers in all occupational specialties some type of civilian recognized credential, license, certification, or even college credit. The importance of these credentials has become more visible in the last couple of years as the Army downsized and veteran unemployment rates were higher than their civilian counterparts. All of us have seen the recent talk and discussion about credentialing opportunities in the news, on social media, in the public eye, and hearings on the subject in the halls of Congress. We can easily see where a soldier leaving the Army with a wanted or needed certification could use those credentials to their benefit for transitioning into a civilian career. But how does credentialing opportunities help the Army and ultimately help our nation? So this is a great subject to discuss, and the best person to have the discussion with here in our studio is the Sergeant Major of the Army, Daniel A. Daly. SMA, welcome to today's Soldier Today podcast.
Well, Ken, thanks for inviting me back. I hope the response from our listeners was positive. Well, at least it was positive enough to get me back here for another go-around.
Hey, you're the man. But, you know, SMA, you have been an advocate for credentialing, not only in your current position, but also as the Training and Doctrine Command Sergeant Major. There, you were the principal lead in helping the Centers of Excellence identify those skill sets in each occupational specialty that would warrant a civilian credential, license, certification, or even college credit. So for our listeners, I'd like to start with the why question. Why does the Army need credentialing, licensing, and certifications for all soldiers?
Well, I think there's two words, readiness and opportunity, that answer that question, Ken. And so let me expound upon that a little bit. So readiness, this builds readiness in the United States Army. And how does it do that? Well, when we get credentials in our soldiers, specifically those that have their MOSs that lead directly to credentials in the civilian sector, it enhances their skills. It makes them better in their MOS. But simultaneously, it offers them opportunity. Opportunity that when they get out of the Army, those great skills that we needed in order to build the readiness requirements for the United States Army, now they're credentialed. They're licensed. So they can go out after they serve in the Army in their hometowns and use those same skills now which they have a license or credential for and seek opportunities for employment.
Sure. And I mean, there are those out there too that say, well, why do you need some type of license or credential while you're in the Army? So what does it do for those that are in uniform currently serving that may not necessarily have an ETS coming up anytime soon?
Well, I'll tell you, it gives an opportunity for them to build. So as they follow their career path in their MOS and they get knowledge, skills, and attributes that the Army offers them at each level of non-commissioned officer professional development system, and they simultaneously bridge that with the credentials that they can use when they get out of the Army, they're building readiness and they're creating opportunity for themselves.
Yeah, and I think too, for a lot of our listeners out there, maybe that they don't realize that the college credit now that's being offered with military schools.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we've worked very hard on this. And actually, this is something we've been building on for several years now. And I'm excited to talk about this and maybe in a later podcast about the academic equivalency that we're achieving all throughout our non-commissioned officer professional development system.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But this is something we can capitalize on very quickly. And I'll tell you, it's something that our job market in America needs. Skilled, trained individuals in highly technical skilled fields. There's a lot of job vacancies out there in America. But there's also a lot of job vacancies here in the United States Army, too. Yeah. So we want to train them. We want to educate them. We want to give them the best education we can while simultaneously making them, a valuable asset to the hometowns that they're going to go to because we owe that to our soldiers.
Yeah, and it's, in our last podcast where we were talking about, the World War II greatest generation, it was that greatest generation that went back to society and stood the factories and the industry up all across the country.
Absolutely. Some of the skills they brought back was the cutting edge technology that we needed to win. And it was developed in the military. And they brought those things, everything from the trucking industry to satellite communications to microwave technology, all came from military occupational skills that were trained as a need for readiness requirements of that World War II era. It's the same thing today. We have hundreds of skills that can be used out there in America.
Yeah, and then, of course, also, in addition to not only the occupational skills, it's the other things that these soldiers leave in the Army that they take back to society, even like leadership and work ethic.
Absolutely.
So as you kind of look at all this credentialing, licensing, and certifications, you know, what would it take to get all this into place?
Well, absolutely. Well, that's a great question. And it takes a lot of work by a tremendous team that's working this very hard for us right now. We've launched a limited user test at Fort Hood, Texas. Soldiers down there right now can take advantage of this. And we did this so we could work out all those bugs that we have in order to make sure that we connect the dots from the soldier that requires the training and education to the individuals or the great communities outside of our gates that are going to help us provide those. Because we're not going to be able to do all of this. I mean, we don't have all this resident within the Army, and that's okay. We want to work with our industry partners outside of our gates to help us figure this out and connect the dots. And how do we get our soldiers trained and educated? And how do we get them jobs when they get out of the Army?
Sure. And so you mentioned Fort Hood, Texas. So that's, you know, I'm thinking regular Army. And, you know, for our listeners out there in the Army National Guard and the Army Reserve, you know, what about them?
Well, it's available to them too. Now, right now, only in the Fort Hood area, but our Guard and Reserve soldiers can take advantage of that at Fort Hood, Texas. But our plan, if all goes well, is to expand this to the greater Army and the Guard and Reserve.
That's awesome. So as you kind of think about this this limited users test, how long will it go on? And then really, what's the outcome from that point? You know, when are you looking at, you know, spreading this across a larger footprint?
Absolutely. And I mentioned we started this last August, really kicked it off 1 October. And we're going to redo a review of it in January. And then we're going to make a recommendation to the Chief of Staff and Secretary of the Army on our ability to expand this to every major installation and state across the United States Army. The limited user test was really, like I described, connect the dots between, you know, the credentials our soldiers want and the industry's capability to provide those to our soldiers.
Yeah. Is there any feedback that you're getting right now? I mean, obviously it's still new and, you know, it's still kind of in its infancy, but, any little tidbits or things that you're hearing back from soldiers or leadership?
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. I think, first one is expectation management. Some of these credentials, some of our licensed professionals in America take 10 to 15 years to do.
Oh, yes.
This is not an overnight thing. Some of them are quick. So you have to look at this as a journey as you do with your traditional education. It's almost in parallel. And when you look at some of these highly trained and skilled technicians out in America, we often not give them credit for the amount of education and training it takes to achieve some of these things. When you're talking simple things like an electrician or a plumber, some of this is very skilled trade. So I have to tell soldiers, you got to start early. And think about long game, because there's different levels of each one of these credentials too, just like there are degrees in traditional education.
Yep. And so you mentioned, electricians and plumbing. So this doesn't necessarily mean the occupational specialty that a soldier is working in now getting a license or credential in that MOS. It could be something else beyond that.
Absolutely. So one of the things we want to do is offer two types of credentialing approaches. And the first one is the one we talked about previously, and that's where we build upon the critical skills we need in the soldier's MOS by simultaneously credentialing them for something that would lead to a license certificate when they leave the Army. The second one is that fills the need is that 61% of our Army is combat arms. So they don't necessarily have a credential that actually equates to a job in America. So we are letting them pursue what we are calling self-directed credentialing. Just like tuition assistance, they can take their credentialing fund and they can use it for a credential that leads to any state-recognized or federally recognized license or certificate.
Okay, so that's great then for, you're right, the combat arms kind of folks out there. I mean, obviously they have leadership skills, but now this allows them to get those technical kind of skills too.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned credentialing assistance. What is credentialing assistance?
So that's a great question. Credentialing assistance is the mirror to tuition assistance. So everybody's familiar in the Army now with tuition assistance. It's $4,500 a year that soldiers can use to pursue their academic goals. Well, credentialing assistance, when it is fully stood up, is mirrored to be the same thing. The same amount of money, soldiers will have access, and they can use that fund to help them pursue their credentialing goals, just like they do with tuition assistance.
I see. So with the credentialing assistance, it would be used then to pay for different courses, education opportunities in and around, in this case right now, where the limited users test Fort Hood, Texas.
Absolutely, but there's one addition to credentialing assistance that tuition assistance doesn't have. Because of the uniqueness of a credential, a lot of times it's hands-on and skills training. We're gonna allow soldiers to use their credentialing assistance fund for test fees, equipment, and books.
Wow, that's huge. So with that, I mean, that kind of now somewhat answers this question I have is why is credentialing assistance important for soldiers?
Well, it's very important. You know, we've had tuition assistance around for a long time, and encouraging our soldiers to pursue degrees is important. But only about 18% of our soldiers actually do that. And we didn't have a fund that was servicing the majority of what our soldiers want or do as soldiers in the Army.
So you said 18%?
Only about 18% are using tuition assistance. Now, I'd like to see more, Ken, but that's just the fact that only about 18% of our soldiers do. And most of the jobs that are available in America today actually don't even require a degree. Only about 20% of the market of what I'm told is actually requires traditional degrees. The other is made up of skilled and unskilled labor. And many of those skilled labor jobs require credentials and certificates. And so why not encourage a soldier to build on the skills that we've already given them as a great American soldier in their military occupational skill set, but also is going to make them highly compatible for a job when they get out of the Army.
Yeah, that's awesome. And as you kind of think about the credentialing assistance, what about the effort to align your military occupational specialty with non-commissioned officer education courses and the curriculum in schools?
Well, I think they directly align. I mean, as you know, our ALC and SLC is directly related to your military occupational skill. And then your BLC and your MLC are what you call the common courses, along with the Sergeant Major's Academy. And that's when a soldier graduates AIT and then goes to ALC and SLC, that's when they're going to get a lot of their skills that will equate to credentials. If there's a credential that equates to their MOS, as we talked before, our combat armed soldiers, there won't be. Yeah. And that's why we're providing the opportunity for soldiers who are in those combat MOSs to seek skills outside of their MOS. Mm-hmm. And not just the combat armed soldiers. All soldiers will be able to pursue self-directed credentials with the credentialing assistance program.
So there's no special circumstances where they have to be in order to take some type of credentialing course outside of their occupational specialty.
That's right. So you can either build on the skills you learn if there's a credential in your MOS that's available outside the Army, or you can choose one of the 1,500 or more that's on the Army COOL website now.
That's awesome. So now you also mentioned too, I thought was very important, was you mentioned advanced individual training, getting credit, you know, as you go through that initial entry training phase. So whether it's OSINT or whether it's, you know, basic training and then advanced individual training, you're actually gaining credit from initial entry training.
Absolutely. And this is something TRADOC's been working for quite some time, and now they're working it in two forms. So the credit comes in equivalent academic credit for traditional degrees, but also TRADOC has been given guidance and directives to make sure that they credential a soldier when a credential exists for their MOS outside of the United States Army. So while they go to AIT, they can be receiving both simultaneously, both academic credit and credentialing credit, if those credentials do lead to credentials outside of the Army.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now thinking, you know, just kind of stepping back and, you know, kind of blowing it up and looking at it from a strategic perspective, you know, why will the implementation of credentialing assistance, you know, what do you think it'll do for the Army as a whole?
I think it's going to create opportunity, Juan. I think that we've had a void there for young soldiers who don't want to pursue traditional degrees. And, well, obviously, if you look at the statistics, most of them don't, or they're not for some reason, because that statistic has held true for quite some time. But I also think that it helps us with recruiting. When a young man or woman leaves the Army and they get a job and it's a good paying job, and they tell those future soldiers, those young men and women out there in America, how they did it, and who got them there, or at least who helped them, the United States Army, I think that word's going to spread. And I think that investment is profound.
Yeah, because I think also, too, you know, as I'm thinking about, you know, if I put myself into the shoes of a recruiter and you're trying to convince some young man or woman who's, you know, leaving high school or is just getting ready or is just graduated. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, you're trying to showcase what the opportunities that the Army has. You know, what's the lens that they see this as an opportunity to join the Army?
Yeah, I think there's no better small group of words to describe this than soldier for life. This is the true meaning of soldier for life. It means that we care enough about our soldiers, to invest in them while they are soldiers in order to prepare them for the future when they get out. Because, Ken, I don't know if you know this, but 100% of us are going to leave the Army someday.
That's right. No doubt. Everybody has to leave at some point.
That's right. And we're all going to go somewhere. Yeah. But we want our soldiers be sought after. We want industry to look at them as a valuable asset that they seek. We see that every day. Our unemployment rates have been dropping for years now. And the indications say that this is the right path to give them an option, traditional education or credentialing or both.
Or both. And I think, too, as I kind of think about, myself throughout my career, how priorities and goals change. And, I think that, most young people come in the Army with the intent to do their period of time and then get out and go to school or move on and do something else. So this also would also help with retention, you think, in the long term? I'm thinking, is this something that incentivizes young people to leave, or do you think that it'll actually incentivize people to want to stay and continue to build on their career path?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, Ken, we've done research on this. And I would tell you is that every soldier is a great soldier for serving, regardless of say, 4 years or 30 years. But the analysis says that if you invest in people, they'll stay. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, we started credentialing just a few years ago. We're having some of the highest retention rates we've seen since we've recorded retention rates. Now, I don't think that's a singular factor. I don't think credentialing has been the fix-all for all things. But what I do know, personally and professionally, as a sergeant major of the Army, is that when you invest in people, they feel good about the organization. And if they leave, well, that's fine, too, because we're sending a better product home than mom and dad in hometown America and what we received. And that's what we owe the American people.
Yeah, I think that's a great, and as I think about it too, from a quality of life perspective, young people come in and, it's really about the opportunities, it's the quality of life that they have, it's about attaining educational goals or goals in life that they want to achieve. So I think that's huge for the Army, to move forward with this. So as I look at the Army Credentialing Assistance Program, for those listeners out there maybe in the Fort Hood area, and whether they're regular Army, Army National Guard, or Army Reserve, how do they sign up for this? Or let's say that they're brand new coming into the Fort Hood area. How do they learn about the credentialing assistance program?
Absolutely. And there's no different place than where you learn about your traditional education, and that is the Army Education Center. They have the information you need. The information has been already sent out to them. Now, not every installation has this yet. Stay tuned for that in 2019 as we expand this out to the greater Army. But if you have questions or concerns, the second good one is go online to the Army Cool website, the credentialing online website. It's got phenomenal resources. You don't have to wait. You can get started on your credentials now, those that coincide with your MOS or those that you pursue on your own. But we're working very hard to get the Credentialing Assistance Fund stood up and available to our soldiers this fiscal year.
Okay. And the COOL website, COOL standing for?
Credentialing Opportunities Online.
There we go. And so now for those soldiers in Texas, now we've kind of focused there on Fort Hood specifically, but for those out there that are, following in the footsteps of Command Sergeant Major Sampa and the Army National Guard down there. So what about them? I mean, is they go to see their education counselor? I mean, how does that work for them?
Absolutely. They can go see their education counselor, or they can go to Fort Hood, where the program and the pilot is running right now, and they can sign up.
Yeah, and this would also apply then to the Army Reserve soldiers serving within the state of Texas?
Absolutely. We already have some both Army National Guard and Reserve soldiers taking advantage of the limited user test at Fort Hood, Texas today.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Now, so limited user test ongoing, and as we kind of look to the future, we think this will be a success. Obviously, we have to wait and see. So it's a move forward with the Army. Anything that you want to say to our listeners out there about credentialing, licensing, certification, college credit opportunities out there?
Yeah, I would say is that take a look at the credentials that are out there. Take a look at some of the employment that's available based upon the credentials you can have. We're not in this journey alone. There's really a nationwide initiative to reinstate some of the technical skills that we're losing across America. And we got great partners like Department of Labor, Department of Veterans Affairs, and all the way up through the administration. So there's a lot going on in this field right now. We're excited to be leading it, and that's what we've been told by our partner organizations, that the United States Army is in the lead on this. And that's good to hear that we're out the lead. I need soldiers where I need their help. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Take advantage of this great program. look and see what is available to you. Some of this stuff, there's big short-term wins here. You can spend a little bit amount of time and get a great, valuable credential. And some of this is planning for the future.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things, I mean, to your credit that, you know, it's been started a while back, but you now have SAR majors, I know, working over in the Department of Labor and Department of Education. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's right. And I think that's where we gained a lot of ground, is when we started building these bridges between us and the other government agencies that directly affect our soldiers and our veterans. And I'm happy to announce, as you mentioned, we have a fellow at Department of Labor, one at Department of Education, and we're getting ready to put one over to Department of Veterans Affairs at their request, because they've seen how great a relationship those two other government agencies have with the Army. And I can't think of a better place for us to have a direct conduit than with the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, and just as a point for our listeners out there, you know, I've been afforded the opportunity to meet the two SAR majors over there, Department of Labor, Department of Education, and, you know, they've all come over here and see me. But I just really just want to applaud the effort out there you, the Army, have put forward to put these kind of broadening opportunities out there for senior non-commissioned officers. And it's not only good for them, but of course, it's the payback is what it pays back to the Army.
Absolutely. And you know, what we're trying to do is put meaning behind the term soldier for life. It's not just a bumper sticker. We're taking care of soldiers for life.
That's awesome. Sergeant Major, thanks very much. And you know, for all of our listeners out there, again, I hope you've gained a lot from this. We're very fortunate to have the Sergeant Major of the Army, Daniel A. Daly, here with us today. And SMA, thanks very much. And, you know, to all of our listeners out there, have a great, great Army Day and Army Strong Hua.
Well, Ken, I hope you invite me back soon. I'm ready to talk some more topics.
There we go.